Hi, this is Tia Sirkar. I play Sabine Wren on Star Wars Rebels, and you're listening to Twin Suns Transmission.
Of course, it ends where it began. A desert planet with twin suns.
Hey, my name is Taylor Gray, and I play Ezra Bridger in Star Wars Rebels. I hope you enjoy this week's episode of Twin Suns Transmission.
Here's where the fun begins.
Let's make this a bit more interesting.
You've taken your first step into a larger world.
The garbage will do!
Nothing will stand in our way.
May the Force be with us.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Twin Suns Transmission. I'm your host, Eric Pfeiffer, and I'm joined, as always, by the lovely Jesse Sanfilippo.
Hey, guys.
And, you know, Jesse, I keep thinking, I'm like, well, it's 2018, we're getting toward the end of the year, we're probably not going to have a ton of Star Wars stuff to talk about until next year, where we know we're going to have a ton of Star Wars stuff to talk about, but it just seems like I keep getting... My mind changed on that because we just found out about a new LEGO series that's coming out. We've got General Grievous in Star Wars Battlefront. We have two new episodes of Star Wars Resistance that we're going to be talking about on this episode. So it's just like, oh my gosh, there's just so much stuff. So very excited about that. And we are going to be talking about the last two episodes of Star Wars Resistance. But before we do that, let's get into some of the news, which I just mentioned. So Jesse, why don't you tell us a little bit about this new Star Wars LEGO series?
So, this week, basically, this series debuted. It's called the All Stars LEGO series, and it goes across basically all eras of Star Wars. Just looking at this poster, you've got, you know, Rey next to young Han, and BB-8 and Jabba the Hutt are all mashed in here together.
So it's canon.
All different eras. So clearly it's canon. Mm-hmm. We're all alive at the same time. We're all ages at the same time. So it looks like it's going to be really fun. There's four episodes that are an hour long each that have gone starting this week and are going through November 2nd. And then there's going to be additional shorts airing on Saturday, November 10th. And this is all on Disney XD.
I haven't watched any of these yet, but I kind of miss a lot of those. You know, it's Resistance that I watch and Rebels, and they've done a lot with that. I know they've done like the Yoda Chronicles and the Padawan Menace and a lot of kind of the LEGO shorts, but I haven't watched too many of them. I kind of want to give this one a shot.
Yeah, I've watched some of like the Freemaker Adventures, and they were really cute and funny. But I think something about it not being canon, like I'm not like hooked, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Like they're adorable, and I'm definitely going to check this one out. But they don't usually grab me as much as the canon does.
Yeah. Yeah, makes sense. I'm right there with you, but definitely want to check that one out for sure. And as I mentioned earlier, General Grievous was added to Star Wars Battlefront 2 as downloadable content on October 30th. And we're going to have a little bit more for you on this next time after we've actually had a chance to play as General Grievous here at Twin Suns. But a couple things you need, like, I can't remember if it's 30 or 35,000 credits in order to unlock General Grievous as a playable character. And I'm at like 25 or 28,000 credits right now, so I'm pretty close, so just probably a few more days. Or one long sort of extended gaming, you know, experience. But I did get a chance to not play as him or against him, but with him, if that makes any sense.
He was on your team.
Yeah, he was on my team. So there's a game called Heroes and Villains, and there's a couple different variations of that you can play. And he was on my team. It's like a two-on-two battle, and the first one to three victories is the winner. And so he was on my team, and I died, and so I got to kind of like follow him around as he fought against the rest of the people. And so I got to see him. He looks really cool. He looks really accurate. He's on the main menu, and he looks sort of like battle damaged a little bit, which is kind of interesting. And my cousin actually unlocked him, and so I was like, dude, how is he? Like, is he pretty awesome? And he was like, he's cool. He's a little slow, but he can jump high, and he has some sweet attacks. And that's that's the quote from my cousin on General Grievous. So
perfect.
Yeah. So we'll have a little bit more on that next time on our next episode after I've unlocked him and can play him a little bit. But he seems pretty cool, and I'm glad they're sort of adding more prequel stuff to it.
Yeah, I'm excited for all this Clone Wars stuff. I haven't been playing a lot just because I've been busy, but definitely all these Clone Wars era additions really make me want to get back into Battlefront again.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's go into our main topic of discussion, and let's talk about some of these episodes of Star Wars Resistance. And as always, we are going to be talking about things in the episode, some spoilers, so we obviously don't want to spoil anything for you. So if you have not seen Fuel the Fire or The High Tower, make sure to go watch those before you listen to the rest of the show. But Jesse, these have been some very interesting episodes. Obviously, we're getting a lot more on Kazuto Ziono. And as I was watching this, I'm like, we haven't really had any other story arcs too much other than what we see from Kaz. This has sort of been like one Kazuto Ziono story. Obviously, we've got Yeager in there and a couple other returning characters like Tam and Niku and Doza and Tora and stuff like that. But if you remember back to like Clone Wars and Rebels, we sort of had like character arcs, you know, where we'd have like a couple episodes like the one with Zeb and Callus, or we'd have like an Ahsoka arc, you know, or like a droids arc where we had C-3PO and R2 or things like that. And I was thinking, like, I wonder if they're going to do that with this episode. I know they don't want to confuse the younger audience that's watching the show, but then I thought back to Rebels, and I was like, well, Rebels Season 1 was very similar. You know, it was very much so like the whole Phoenix team for the first season, and then it wasn't until later seasons where they sort of, like, drifted off and started expanding certain characters. Because these are new characters, you know.
I feel like they are just trying to get us introed to Kaz. Like, I think he's like a similar character as Ezra was, where he is the main story, but he's not the only story. So I think we're still, like you said, in those like opening stages of this show, just trying to get us hooked on Kaz before they explore everyone else.
Yeah. And I really want to kind of dive into Kazuda as a character, because I don't know if for those of you who have listened to some of our prior episodes, I said something like, I don't want to say Kaz is stupid, but he kind of is. and I still sort of feel that way after these last two episodes. Kaz has very good intentions, but it seems like almost everything that he tries to do with his intentions, it just goes wrong.
Yeah.
So in this episode, Fuel the Fire, obviously he gets befriended by this guy Rucklin and his team, and they're sort of bad-mouthing Yeager, right? And Yeager and him just sort of got into an argument about the engine and everything, so Kaz is feeling a little bit rebellious and goes off, and turns out these guys clearly, you know, aren't truly wanting to be friends with Kaz.
Yeah, they're not respectable.
Yeah,
people.
And we got to find out a lot more about Yeager in this episode, which we'll get to in a second. But one thing that I did want to say about Kaz is that even after this guy Rucklin and his crew sort of tricks Kazuda into taking the Corellian hyperfuel, which is pretty awesome since we had a whole movie on Solo on hyperfuel, basically. Even after that happens, Kaz wants to save his life, which of course is normal, but he refers to Rucklin as a friend. Even after Rucklin takes the hyperfuel, loads it up into his vehicle, and then Kaz figures out that Ruckland is the one who stole it. He goes and saves him, and Yeager's like, where are you going? And Kaz is like, not now, I have to save my friend. You know, which I think is kind of interesting, because Ruckland just betrayed Kazuda, you know.
Yeah, he like just figured it out.
Yeah, which I think says a lot about Kaz as a character, you know. He's willing to give people second chances, it seems like.
Right, or it just like hadn't sunk in yet, like in his head he was still his friend and he had just found out this like really crummy kind of thing where the guy is obviously double-crossing him, so maybe in his head he just can't get over the fact that he saved him, like he can't really be as bad as he thinks he is. Maybe a similar thing with Yeager, how he's kind of starting to slowly realize like, oh, maybe Yeager is not as like hard as I think he is. Like maybe he's, like you said, trying to give these guys the benefit of the doubt.
I think a lot of us, well, not maybe not a lot of us, but I think some of us were sort of like, Yeager's very interesting, he's very mysterious, why is he like this? And we get to find out a little bit more about him. We find out that he was a former racer and he was really good. We get to find out that he fought in the rebellion, and more specifically the Battle of Jakku, which was really cool. We got to see a little shot of that. And then we find out that Yeager has a family, or at least had a family. We don't know anything other than what we saw in that one image, which, you know, once you sort of get to know somebody on a deeper level like that, even just through images, you know, it changes your viewpoint on that person, like, totally. Like, even Kaz was like, suddenly I feel bad sneaking in here, you know?
Right.
So I think that says a lot about Yeager already, just from that.
It does. It kind of changes how you view him, because I feel like we were both kind of wondering, you know, if he was going to be... He's so against dealing with Kaz. Like, is he going to end up being this, like, First Order spy that Kaz is looking for? Mm-hmm. But, like, just seeing his family and the Battle of Jakku and just knowing... You can see it in his eyes when he's looking at those pictures. Like, he's been through a lot. And also with Yeager, he really did develop a lot in that episode, because as hard as he is on Kaz, when Tam comes in and starts, you know, just complaining about Kaz to Yeager and being like, where is this kid? After Yeager's been like basically like yelling in his face and telling him to get to work, like literally the last time he spoke to Kaz, when Tam does it, he comes back and it's like, give the kid a break. Like,
yeah,
I gave you a break. So it's like you can see deep down that he cares. He's going to give him a hard time, but in the end, he's going to be there for him and he's not going to give up on him.
Yeah. And at the beginning of the episode, Kaz is trying to clean this engine, and at the same time trying to watch the race that's happening outside, and he tries to go out and clean outside and the engine falls into the water. One big question that I have for you is, do you think that Kaz is learning anything? Is Yeager teaching Kaz anything? Because at the very end of the episode, after Yeager gives him mercy, you know, and sort of gives him a second chance with the engine, it falls in the water again, you know? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, these two episodes, both of them really for Kaz, don't really paint him in the most intelligent light. Yeah. I think he's learning... I think he's learning in the aspect of just how to kind of be a friend to all these people, where he fits in. I feel like he's not going to be able to succeed at any of these things until he accepts where he is and builds relationships with the people around him. Because right now I feel like he's just so focused on being a spy, which is he's terrible at, and that he's not focused on what's around him. And he's not going to be able to be good at those things until he learns to trust these people, gets to know them, and stops just trying to basically skirt around and avoid them.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I feel like if he does start to, like, let these people in and, you know, work with them, that's the only way he's going to be able to succeed at what he's actually trying to do.
Do you think that he'll be a little bit more guarded now because of what happened with Rucklin? Like, we just talked about this Corellian hyperfuel and sort of, you know, how they're sort of relating this show to a lot of the other movies, and Solo obviously being the more recent one. You know, there was a big emphasis on the trust no one mentality. So do you think that's something that, you know, Kaz is going to have to deal with or learn or anything?
Yeah, I think he's going to be a little bit more careful in who he confides in the future. I definitely think it brought him closer to the Fireball team. Just kind of realizing the value of those relationships over these, like, random people that just, like, fell into his life and messed everything up for him.
Yeah.
I feel like Kaz is learning, and I feel like it's, not to give like a boring answer, but I feel like a lot of these things are because it is a kid's show. I mean, you could say Clone Wars and Rebels was also a kid's show too, but like, let's be real, like those were adult cartoons that kids were able to watch and be interested in because they were cartoons. This is legitimately like the sitcom-y kids cartoon that has a storyline in the background that adults are going to be interested in, and that's going to tie in and be fun for adults as well. But like all these weird situations that Kaz gets himself into, it just very much reminds me of just like, he's like teaching kids lessons, like, hey, like, you know, don't just trust what people, you know, say and do, and don't just, you know, get colluded into bringing somebody into your parents' house that you don't really trust. They'll steal all your stuff. Like, you know, like, I feel like these are little, like, life lessons for kids, too. Like, they get to learn through Kaz, and Kaz is kind of dumb sometimes in order to teach them.
Yeah.
A boring answer, but...
Well, that sort of, like, brings me into my next question, because if you think about the Star Wars content that we have, a lot of time the main character, you know, the main protagonist is usually, and not always the case, a good role model. You know, like if you think about Ahsoka in Clone Wars, you think about Ezra and Kanan and all those guys, Hera, like they have really good values. And, you know, obviously sometimes characters make bad decisions, you know, but that's part of being a good character, is that you do have flaws and that you can overcome them and still be great. And I think, you know, obviously Anakin had his problems with the whole kid killing thing. but, you know, in the end, he redeemed himself. He was able to be redeemed and, you know, and helped destroy the Sith and help the rebellion win. You know, save Luke's life in return for getting his saved. And like The Last Jedi or not, at the end of the movie, Luke was the one that came back and saved his friends. You know, we have all these amazing characters that are good role models for people watching them. And I was trying to think about, is Kaz a good role model? He does make a lot of the same mistakes, and a lot of them he makes more than once. You know, he is not focusing on what Yeager's telling him to do. You're supposed to be a mechanic. You know, if you can be a mechanic, then you'll be a good spy. And we won't attract attention from the First Order. We won't attract attention from Doza, which clearly is not happening. He's definitely grabbing attention from both the First Order and Doza. And basically, what we've seen so far is Kaz is good at being a person. And that's a line that they said in this episode. And he's good at being a pilot. So I'm just wondering, like, Kaz, I feel like, is going to be a character that by the end of the series, by the end of Resistance, you know, he might be a totally different character. Because right now, he's kind of pretty bad at everything.
He's a mess right now. I don't think he's necessarily a bad role model. He skips work. Which is pretty bad.
Yeah.
But he always comes around in the end, even if he still, you know, drops what he's working on off the end of the ship. He, like, always learns the lesson in the end. He's not totally, like, forget this. I mean, he is kind of sometimes, like, forget this. But in the end of every episode, I feel like he comes back around to his work and is respectful to Yeager and in the end, usually.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's like you said, I feel like that he's going to develop and he's not going to stay this dopey, but
listeners that are listening to this that may not have seen Resistance, which probably isn't that many, but they're probably going to be like, I am never going to watch this show because the main character sounds like he's an idiot. That's not what we're trying to do. Like, he's a cool character, and I think this is Star Wars, and this is completing a lot of, I don't want to say questions, but it's leading up to what happens in The Force Awakens. It's showing how the First Order became a power and things like that. And like we mentioned in the last episode, you know, maybe Poe sent BB-8 because BB-8 is more competent than Kaz is, and they need somebody there you know, keep Kaz grounded. And whether or not BB-8 succeeding at that, I don't know. But
I feel like BB-8's been his little, like, Jiminy Cricket, like, trying to get him to, you know, not do the things that he does anyways, even though he kind of follows him around and goes along with it in the end. But I don't know. When I say Kaz is, like, dopey, it's a kid's show.
Yeah.
It's a kid's show that I'm really enjoying as a 28-year-old adult. But it's funny. Like, why does Kaz drop the engine off the ship at the end again? Because it's funny and kids will laugh.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, it's not like, I don't think they're trying to show that he's, like, stupid and incompetent. Like, it's funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's going through the same stuff that most young people go through. You know, who do you trust? Like, what people in life, like, especially as, like, a young person in, like, the career world, trying to find your place in your job or wherever, you have to just learn, like, there's people you can trust, there's people you can't trust, you've got to work well with everyone, but you got to kind of know who's going to help you and who's going to hurt you. He's learning life lessons, and he's not perfect yet. Yeah, he's learning.
Yeah, I think so. And we'll have to see what continues to happen. Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about in the episode Fuel for the Fire?
Going back to when Yeager tells Tam to give Kaz a break, mm-hmm. I thought it was interesting that he throws in there that he gave her a break. I feel like I keep saying this every episode. I just so badly want to know more about Tam. I feel like she has a really interesting backstory that they just keep hinting at, especially in this next episode we're going to talk about. But
yeah.
But yeah, I
wonder if she's somehow related to each other.
Potentially.
The next episode is called The High Tower. And this one I feel like was pretty interesting because we see the High Tower quite a bit, and we don't really get to see the people in there or the inside of the tower itself. And the power goes out at the station again in this episode, except for in the High Tower, because they're conserving fuel. So this episode was really interesting. We got to see Doza. We got to see a lot more of Hype Faison. And I know he was somebody that you were kind of curious about, since they had mentioned him about being this big hotshot guy, and, you know, a couple times. And we find out that he had a past with Tam. You know, they were buddies, and he kind of, like, blew her off when he became this big shot. So what do you think about Hype after everything we've seen from this episode?
He's interesting, because I feel like he regrets kind of disconnecting with Tam. Like, you can see it in his giant Rodian eyes.
Mm-hmm.
When he notices her, that he kind of, like, regrets. Like, it's like a sad feeling that he's getting from seeing her. So I feel like he's going to come back around and maybe come down to earth a little bit as time goes on. But I noticed on his jacket, it has like a little, at least whatever the Millennium Falcon like model is. I know you know it.
The YT-1300? Like the type of ship?
Yeah, it's on his jacket, right on the front, like shooting across his jacket, which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah. That is interesting. I wonder
if you're
that's the fastest ship.
Right. If you're like a big pilot racer guy, then you're probably, it's not like you've never heard of the Millennium Falcon. Yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's just like a big fan of Han Solo and knows all about him and the Falcon.
Yeah. He's definitely an interesting character. I like his voice and the way that he talks. It's kind of interesting because you typically don't see Rodians speaking English, especially like that. I mean, you know,
he's so cool.
Yeah, Anaconda Farr from Clone Wars, Senator Farr, Uncle Anno. He totally did not sound like that at all. So this is kind of interesting turn of events. And so Aunt Z thinks that Doza is part of the First Order. So I don't know if that's something that is misleading or not. But at the end of this episode, after everything that happens, Doza kind of shoos away the First Order, which is pretty cool. We also get to see that Doza is Tora's father, which is pretty cool. And we get to see the First Order arrive again. What'd you think about everything that happened with the First Order in this episode?
I thought it was really, really interesting to see them just come out in the open. Like, they acted like everybody. If everybody just went inside, no one would know they were coming.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as they sat down, like, with Captain Doza and Von Reg, like, I just feel like I looked at Doza's eyes and I was like, the way they drew just his eyes, I'm like, this isn't a bad guy.
Yeah.
There's, I don't believe the whole, before they even started talking and before he even started kind of brushing them off and trying to get out of their deal, he just does not look like a bad guy to me. I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean anything, but yeah, I don't think this guy's gonna. And also just from his looking at his daughter and Tora's bedroom, like, there's just like little things in there that just, you look at them and you're like, these are good people. Like, these are like happy, this is a happy little family. This isn't some military First Order hard life family, you know?
Yeah. And I think the way that they shot it too, you know, like if you would have just seen them go into the room, the First Order go to talk to Doza and then kind of leave without hearing that whole conversation and things like that, and like at the end, like, I don't know. I think if they showed us what we needed to see to know that they're not bad. And I also think that it was interesting that throughout the previous episodes we have conversations, and we talked about it on our show too, between Niku and Kaz about the First Order. Like, you know, what are the stormtroopers? And Niku's like, I've never seen a stormtrooper. And then, like, the stormtroopers come there, and, you know, Niku's like, what are you doing here? And
not afraid at all.
Yeah. Not afraid of the First Order, not afraid of stormtroopers. And it was just sort of like, oh, it's the stormtroopers. Let's see what's going on. You know, so it didn't really seem like that big of a deal. But this is probably going to be something that we're going to see more of regularly. You know, up until this time, neither of them had seen stormtroopers. Now they're there. They're probably going to be coming back more often than not, I think.
Right. I just want to know what this, like, tiny little, like, station could possibly have that the First Order wants.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's going on in this station? Because, you know, the First Order's were, like, bringing them fuel. We want to cut a deal. Like, why? Why do they care? It's, like, this tiny little station in the middle of nowhere.
Well, there's probably something that whoever the spy is for the First Order that Kaz is supposed to identify, they're probably relaying things to the First Order, like, they've got this, they got this. You know, it might be something that we don't mm-hmm. even know yet. Probably is. I don't know. We'll see. I bet you they want something that Yeager has. Like, Yeager has some Corellian hyperfuel. Seems like Yeager's right. probably, like, this dude that might have a lot of cool things.
Yeah, maybe because he's been through so much with the Resistance and he's left them now, through the Rebellion, the Resistance, the everything, it seems like. I bet, you know, you can't just walk away from that and not have, like, a target on your back, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they might be trying to get to him. Maybe they don't know which person they're looking for, but maybe they know somebody who might have inside information on the Resistance is on base.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, we also, one thing I noticed is, so we see Kaz and he goes to Tora's room. And like you mentioned, there's a lot of cool things in the bedroom. Do you want to mention some things that you saw in the bedroom?
Yes, there's so many cute things in that bedroom. She's got a Numa doll in the top, like on one of her shelves. There's a little Ewok teddy bear in there. Most interesting is what looks like to me a poster of Sabine's artwork.
Mm-hmm. Very similar, for sure.
Yeah, for like the Rising Phoenix, looks very similar to the Phoenix Squadron symbol. At least the whole top half part is yep. like exactly the same thing, and there's some added artwork down at the bottom. I'll post a picture on our social media pages so you guys can see what I'm talking about. But
yeah, it's pretty cool looking. I love how they do things like that. Like in Sabine's quarters in the Ghost, we got to see sort of like a little marking of Embo and Cad Bane and stuff like that. Kind of just like little treats that you get to see in the background.
Yeah, she has so many little things in that room. I could probably pause every like screenshot of that room and you'd find something else. She has like a little Minock, a stuffed Minock, which I thought was really cute.
Yeah.
Yeah, her room is really cool. It's tons yeah. and tons of Easter eggs.
Right. But it's kind of interesting what the two of them talk about. Like, at first she thinks that he likes her and is, like,
yeah.
coming to say hi and stuff like that. And obviously, when the First Order gets after Kaz, you know, she's the one that says, you know, he was just popping in to say hi or whatever. And so, obviously, she's there defending him as well. But one thing I noticed about the First Order is, at first, when we see the stormtroopers chasing Kaz, they're shooting with their stun setting on. And then after he gets out of the window and sort of like scaling the side of the buildings and stuff, like they start to shoot to kill. They switch it over and they're trying to take him out for sure. So
I wonder if it's because they feel like maybe no one can see them now. Like they're not so much in yeah. prime view of the people of the ship. Like obviously everyone in Aunt Z's could see right. them.
Yeah.
But maybe they felt like they were less like in a residential area and they just started
yeah
shooting to kill.
Yeah. this was definitely an interesting episode, and it seems like the power is going to be going out quite a bit at the station. Yeah. So that is grounds for pirates. That's grounds for First Order. So we'll see what happens with that. But after this episode, has your mind changed at all about hype? Or, you know, obviously our minds have changed a little bit about Doza, but what about some of these other characters?
You know, I honestly don't suspect any of them anymore. Like, I don't suspect Eager or Hype or Doza at all of being the spy. I'm getting to the point where I'm wondering if we haven't even met the spy yet.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, I was expecting that he was going to be introduced right away, and it was going to be like a shock. Like, oh, here, look, we've watched it be like a... Why can't I? Oh, Niku. At this point, that's kind of what I was expecting it to be like.
Here, the spy.
Here's this harmless character, and like, oh, surprise, he's the spy. But now I'm thinking that we've not even maybe met this spy yet, because I'm starting to trust everyone, or maybe that's just what they want us to do.
Right.
I don't know.
Could be a very deceptive plot from Lucasfilm to confuse us. But yeah, I don't know. I think Hype is kind of interesting too. Like you said at the beginning, like he's kind of, you know, this like showboaty guy. But like you said in this one, it did seem, at least for a second, that he felt a little bit bad, and he invited Tam and Kaz up to the High Tower, which was nice. You know, best views, best food, best whatever, he says. So that's pretty cool. I don't know. Every time I watch, I'm trying to notice a little more details on characters and stuff, but it's really hard because Yeager's in there for a little bit to like discipline Kaz, and then he's kind of not really there, you know.
Right.
It's mostly Kaz doing his own thing and tripping and falling and saving the day. But so we'll see what happens. So before we move on, is there anything else you wanted to say about the High Tower?
Well, speaking of tripping and falling, do you think Kaz's cover is blown, or are they going to just go with what Tora said and be like, oh, no, that was my friend. He just was here. Like, why would they believe that? Do you think
right.
that Kaz is, like, totally just cover blown, the First Order knows he's, you know, looking into them now? Captain Doza definitely knows
right.
that he needs to keep an eye on him now. Like, I feel like the First Order should also be that intelligent.
Right. If they're not, there's something seriously wrong with them. Because
right.
this person not only was outside the room that you were just having a private meeting in, but he was able to get out of a window and sort of scale this building without getting shot at by the stormtroopers. You know, I think somebody sneaking around like that and is able to survive outside, you know, on the station, I think that you know, whether or not he was just in the room saying hi or not, it's still, like, the same.
Well, it's also without question that they should know that he was listening in on them
yeah.
because there's the feedback, and I mean, it's
right.
so clear. And I don't know. I feel like there's no way they're just going to take that excuse, which I think is, it's early. I wasn't expecting him to blow his cover this early.
But even from the beginning, like, he got called to do that race because Niku was like, oh, you're the right. best pilot in the galaxy or whatever. And then, yeah. And then they showed him on the big screen, and then Hype knew who he was. Cause even when Kaz was so excited to go meet Hype was like, oh yeah, you're the guy that, you know, challenged Tora to race or whatever. You know, that's pretty bold, man. Like, you know, I think it's from day one, like, he's been blowing his cover like crazy. You know, and I think
right.
I just think that's not what a spy should be doing. And I don't know how this
yeah.
is going to get fixed, because everybody knows who he is. First Order, Captain Doza, and pretty much the whole station now.
Right. I feel like it's only a matter of time within these next couple episodes that he's just going to tell, like, the rest of the Fireball team and just be like, Yeah, I'm a spy.
Yeah.
I need help. I don't know what I'm doing.
He should probably keep that secret from Niku, because Niku will be like,
oh, God.
Hey, First Order, Kaz is the spy.
Who is the spy? Yeah, he's right here, but he doesn't want you to know he's right here. Just letting you know that he doesn't want you to know.
Yeah. But I really enjoyed these episodes. I think they're fantastic, and I can't wait for the next one, which is called The Children from Tehar, which is going to be this upcoming Sunday. So make sure to tune into that on the Disney Channel. And these have been on Disney or on demand. So if you have on demand, you can watch it typically during that day and not have to wait until the evening to watch it, which is pretty cool. And there's limited commercials, which is awesome as well. So I think that'll pretty much do it for this episode. If you have any thoughts on Fuel for the Fire or the Hightower, or just, you know, if you think Kaz is a good role model, let us know. Or maybe let us know some thoughts about how you think Kaz is learning or sort of developing as a character. We'd love to hear your thoughts on that. And maybe we'll post a poll or something on Twitter or Facebook or something in the next couple days, because that would be cool. So speaking of social media, Jesse, do you want to tell people where they can find us?
You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, all under the handle at Twin Suns Outpost. And if you enjoy our show, you should leave us a review wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right. And you can listen to our show on our website, which is www.twinsonsoutpost.com. Click on the podcast tab and all of our episodes will be on there. You can also listen to us on the Star Wars podcast app from the Google Play Store, and you can listen to us on iTunes. So we're available a few different places. So once again, thanks so much for listening to episode 125 of Twin Suns Transmission. We'll be back in a couple days, and may the Force be with you.
Hi, this is Vanessa Marshall, Harrison Dula from Star Wars Rebels. You've been listening to Twin Suns Transmission, an exciting show where sand gets everywhere. Thank you for listening to this presentation of the Twin Suns Podcast Network. May the Force be with you, always.
Air Master Tatooine.
It's controlled by the Hutt.
I'll meet you at the rendezvous point on Tatooine.
This son's doing murder for me to see.